you're tuning in to A Wani Review with me, Cynthia Ng. This episode is a very special one because for the very first time, this show will be taking a closer look at the floral industry in Malaysia. Particularly, we are right here at the office of Bloomdis, which is an e-commerce flower delivery and gifting platform started out by a husband and wife, entrepreneurs, Gideon and Penny. Thank you so much for having me here. We had a tour earlier of the warehouse and just look at how the production of flower delivery. And oftentimes when I buy flowers, I receive it at my doorstep and I never think too much about it. So very, very grateful for the opportunity to be speaking with both of you. Now, if I may start with the story of Bloomdis, can you take us back to the beginning? Maybe Gideon, you can start here. And why flowers? Was there a problem that you were trying to solve in the industry?
Right, yeah. And before I start, I really want to thank the opportunity to share our story, you know. And how we started is, it started with actually my mother. She was a florist, and I literally grew up in a flower shop, right, helping my mother around her business. And as I grew a little bit older, I begin to see that actually there's a lot of opportunities, there's a lot of gaps, and there's very little innovation around the industry in the early days. The products were quite similar. There was not really any operational and technical capabilities, you know, to scale such a business. I wanted to, in a way, digitize the way how people, you know, buy flowers and send flowers. So we started with launching our first e-commerce. At that time, it was just purely trying to help my mother's business to go online. But at that time was very new to me, that whole concept of selling flowers online. Embarked on it, but it didn't really take off very well. So that didn't work, and we thought that maybe the site is ugly, and you know, maybe we just need to make the thing look more enticing. So. Fast forward a few years later, I met Penny. We were colleagues in our pharmaceutical company when we were both working there. And so I shared the idea and said, hey, why not let's do this again, let's try building an e-commerce flower business, right? And we did that. That was, I think, in 2013 or 14. Mm-hmm. But again, the results were pretty similar because we didn't have a clear concept and a clear product that actually mm-hmm. fit the market. So that was our early days, you know, how the idea.
So this is your third time and before you actually finally got Bloomdis up and running.
Mm-hmm.
And this all started at home, just both of you.
That's right.
Tell us about that journey of Penny, you know, when he's probably like, hey, come join me, let's start a business. What went through your mind? and this journey, it started in 2015, I believe.
Yes, that's right.
It's 7 years and now mm-hmm. you have a huge warehouse and you're in four locations, Penang, Johor, KL, and also in Singapore. This is a wonderful, wonderful story. Penny, tell us about your version of it.
Yeah, so when I first met Gideon, he shared this his idea of doing a flower e-commerce with me. So that time we were just colleagues, and when I look at the website, to be honest, it was, you know, really hideous, but I was just trying to be the nice colleague and a supportive friend and say that, hey, yeah, this has a lot of potential, right? So little did I know that actually I myself embarked in the journey together with him. So when we first started, we started from our apartment, yeah, so just the two of us, and we worked from our living hall, bedroom, kitchen, and we basically cleared up all the food and the drinks from our fridge, and we only store flowers inside. So technically, it's like staying hungry, you know, staying foolish, trying to really make that thing work. Yeah. Mm. So as time goes, you know, we get some extra help from our family. My mother was actually our first employee that helped us to, you know, do the trimming of the flowers, you know, the flowers arrangement and whatnot. And as a business, you know, outgrown the size of our fridge, we actually moved to our mother's place. So we bought our first 3-door fridge and put it in her living room, and we messed up her entire house. I don't know how she stand us back then, you know. It's pure mother's love, I would say, yeah. So she get all her church friends and whatnot to come over and help us with the entire operation. And then we hit the limit and we think that, hey, it's time for us to, you know, really look into a proper place to run the business. So we then moved on to a double-story house where we started to hire our first team, six team members, I think. Yeah. So, and that our business, again, outgrown that place. You know, we have a lot of electrical cuts, you know, due to the high power consumptions and whatnot. So then we moved to a proper commercial area in 2016. Yeah, right, 2016. So that's where we started to have more, put in more process, you know, hire more team members, make the entire operations and logistics more catered to grow the business.
All right, and look where you are today. It's a 40,000 square feet warehouse right here in PJ. Going back to Gideon, I think just earlier we had this discussion about how the rise of e-commerce, delivery platforms, the rise of the startup scene in Malaysia, that kind of coincided with the rise of Bloomdisk as well. And all this, the kind of supportive ecosystem, if you talk about that.
Yeah, I think that's super important, right? Because success comes in a collaborative way. There's so many moving parts in what we do. You say e-commerce, right? Logistics capabilities is essential to any kind of e-commerce business. And if you look at our kind of business, we're delivering perishable, as you say. We're delivering for a special moment in a person's their life. They have different moments, birthdays, anniversary, and it has to be on that particular day. So it's time sensitive. And so then the logistical and operational capabilities becomes essential to the success of the e-commerce industry, let's say. And at that time, I think Malaysia was very encouraging to the ecosystem. There were a lot of different players that were coming in from the government were playing a role, the investors locally and foreign investors were coming in to play a role. Within the ecosystem, there were entrepreneurs that are actually building and solving different solutions from like what we do, solving a problem to cater for a better customer experience when it comes to giving flowers and whatnot to technological solutions, logistical solutions. So I guess all these different entrepreneurs and at that time the ecosystem was at its early stage, but it was essential for the growth of all these companies. And we kind of like in a way we were very hungry, like what Penny say, right? We literally use our
went
house.
Hungry.
We would literally stay hungry, right? And we wanted to learn so much from, and we saw the opportunities to jump on the bandwagon. Mm-hmm. So we put ourselves into a lot of different accelerator programs, startup programs at that time, and meet a lot of different people to learn how to grow a business.
Right.
So that took off. I think we all kind of grow together to where we are today.
That's amazing. Now, I think the floral industry is quite interesting, because you are selling something that hasn't changed. The product hasn't changed for decades and decades. But the business model has gone through many transformations. Mm-hmm. Back then, we used to only buy flowers from the shop. Right now, I can put a delivery and Bloomdisk can deliver this in probably 4 hours.
Yeah, that is what we promise. Actually, sometimes we can do it faster, but that's 4 hours is like the average.
So yeah, right now, I could put in an order in a minute and then I could get the flowers delivered in the same day. So I want to talk about disruption in the floral industry. You said that you wanted to come in and try to change things up. Mm-hmm. What exactly were you trying to change and where are we right now?
So it's interesting that you mentioned the word disruption. I mean, you think about it, we're not really here to really disrupt anything, because disruption is, I think, a word that is a bit overused, right? What we really want to do is we want to make the experience better. When we started Bloomdisk, the core mission is really to create better customer experience for the industry. And the reason why we came out with that is because, like I said, in the past, when I literally was helping my mom around the flower shop and that, I see that there's a lot of gaps, and the gaps are due to lack in operational and technical capabilities. That's one. Newness in product, right? Innovation in being bold enough to come up to create you know, original and creative products, right? And so there's so much opportunity to make a difference, to improve. So we take one part, one step at a time, right? We wanted to introduce unique products. So we when we introduced the hat box, the Bloomdisc hat box, we wanted to make it really easy for when people give. It's already in a very nice, presentable manner. You don't really have to take it out and put it in a vase or anything. It's just, it's well present. It's nice and presentable, and you can put it anywhere in your home or your office. So that was the thinking behind that product. But yeah, so if you say that, what was, why did we do what we do in the early days, it was really to give customer a better experience.
Customer experience, that is really, really important, because you're some, you know, flowers, yes, it's a product, but what you're selling really is that the feeling, the message behind it. And I think that's where the brand proposition comes into play, which is very important. There are so many players in the market right now, e-floral delivery, e-gifting. How is Bloomdisc different, and how do you plan to stay ahead of the game?
Yeah, so I think what customer can expect when they use our product and service is one thing they can rest assured in terms of the quality. Yeah, so all our flowers or products over here are really handcrafted by human, not by machine at this moment. Yeah, so and all the flowers are handcrafted by these professionals, floral artisans, we call them. Yeah, so quality is one of it that they can rest assured. And secondly, they can rest assured in terms of the journey of their process, the journey of where their product goes. So the moment when our customer put in an order, they can know the status of the flower, whether is it already in the making, or is it on the way to delivery, or has it been sent it to the customer doorsteps. So all this trackable journey actually gives our customer a peace of mind when they shop with us. Yeah, and a lot of times we get the comments whereby they say that, hey, your flowers look exactly like the website, so what I'm buying is really what I'm getting. Right. So customer really see the value of a good quality product being being rendered to them when they come onto our platform.
Now, you mentioned like this is handcrafted, and I imagine this is quite a labor-intensive business. How would technology help solve some of this problem as you scale?
That's out? Right. Yeah, you clearly pointed it out, right? It's possible to give quality when the scale is lower, but the challenge becomes, how do you ensure consistent quality and consistent service level at scale, right? Even during a peak season. We experience peak seasons like Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, when the demand for gifting of flowers increases. Or even Malaysia has so many cultural celebrations, and gifting is also a part of those celebrations. And how do you then maintain that quality and the consistency? And you said it right, technology comes in. And so it didn't happen overnight. It is something that we envisioned to do even when we first started the company. We knew that technology plays a role in first, let's say, our e-commerce platform, and, you know, how seamless it is for our customers to place an order, to find what they need, and to go through the whole checkout process. That seamless experience needs to also be backed with the confidence of the fulfillment, right? The quality of the products that their recipient is going to get. I mean, you can imagine when someone buy a gift and they send it online, the buyer and the recipient are two different persons. And so number one, we are making 2% happy, right? When they deliver the product. But it's also quite anxious for the giver, because the giver would want to know, has my gift been delivered, and how is the condition like? What's my recipient thinking? And you know, they are a bit anxious about, okay, to make sure that everything is perfect, because they are sending a gift. And we have to, clear the doubts and make sure we assure the customer along the whole journey. So technology comes in to, number one, remove all the bottlenecks of our operation. As you say, labor intensive. So how do we manage logistics efficiently? How do we manage production efficiently, and all our inventory management and things like that? So we actually build our proprietary system to layer on all these processes, we collect data and then we actually optimize the whole operational process so that even at scale, we can still deliver the same quality.
So you mentioned proprietary. Probably I can't go into detail what exactly it is, but if you can give us a sense, how will this help you scale further? Because I mean, I imagine 40,000 square feet warehouse, next what, 80,000 right. Or expansion geographically, give us a sense of that.
Yeah, you're right. So actually, the end of the day, it's a mix between the right talent. We look at it from a people and a process and a platform combination in order to be successful. So the right people, right skill sets is super essential. So even as we scale geographically or even internally, we really need to scale the people, the development, the talent, the talents within the organization. And then after that, we look at processes. Space is just one of the criteria, but there are also how things flow within department to department. In order to deliver something within hours from the moment you click and buy, and then within hours your recipient gets it, there's a process that needs to take place within the people and the space. And then of course when you say technology platform, technology is an enabler if you look at it, right? We leverage on technology to enable the processes, to enable the people to automate some of the mundane work and things like that. Yeah.
I do wonder, I just want to get a sense of where we are right now with the pandemic winding down. I had a thought yesterday, I'm thinking about floral industry. Was it a positive or negative for you during the pandemic? Because I imagine when things shut down, weddings get cancelled, birthdays get cancelled, people are stuck at home. But at the same time, people want that connection. Mm. And were people buying more flowers then, or was it a negative for your business?
Yeah. So when the pandemic first started, no one actually knew what is a lockdown. Yeah, so we were struggling. We were struggling back then in terms of how to maneuver this situation. So we had really tough weeks whereby, you know, during the first week of lockdown, we couldn't operate, you know, with all the very strict SOPs and whatnot. But then we also found a way that actually people still have the needs, you know, to send flowers, foods and gifts, you know, to the people that they cannot see, that they cannot meet. Yeah. So all the more we felt that our business, our product and our services is so important during periods of lockdowns. Yeah. So all in all, I would say that it is still a very positive thing that people actually convey their thoughts and their wishes through a gift, a beautiful gift such as flowers, you know, during times that we cannot meet each other.
Yeah. What were some of the key lessons learned coming out of the pandemic?
I think firstly is that we really need to be agile. We need to listen to what customer need and want. And we tweak and pivot ourselves into meeting the customer needs. That's the first thing. Yeah. So during the pandemic, what we understand from a customer is that, hey, they need to celebrate something, or they need something to cheer them up. So that's where we come up with our celebration packages, with all the balloons, that, you know, all the cheer me up bundles, you know, to help people through this situation.
Okay. Mm. Now I want to bring this discussion to where we are now with the pandemic winding down. Business optimism, consumer optimism has improved, but what's taking center stage at this point in time is also rising cost of living, inflation, consumer are feeling it in their pockets, the squeeze.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I imagine that flowers wouldn't be something that they'd be spending on if there's a squeeze in their pockets.
Right.
But what do you think about this?
Yeah. I think...
Are you feeling worried at all with the rising
inflation? Of course. I think this what's coming will hit everyone. And we all will face, in a way, this tsunami of economic, you know, a change of condition that is coming. But what's important to realize is also with every change that comes, how do we adapt to it, right? And we've also learned, like what you mentioned, you asked what lesson learned during the pandemic. One of the lessons learned is to be agile and to be able to adapt when conditions change and to be prepared and ready for it. So where we see ourselves is that number one, when we look at flower as an industry, it is an industry that's an age-old industry. Like, yeah. It has been around for the longest time. And the whole reason is, it's not because of the flower product, it's because people want to connect with one another. And flower becomes a medium of doing that. At Bloom This, we're not just flowers anymore. We've got more than flowers. We've got now cakes and desserts like ice cream. We've got plants, house plants. We've got balloons that you can personalize. We've got artisanal gifts. We've got an array of products that actually complements gifting. So diversifying into multiple product lines also helps to survive any kind of conditional change. And you clearly mentioned that supply chain inflation is coming, and with that, all the more it is important for businesses to become efficient, right? Efficient and become more productive. I mean, if you think about it, when inflation comes, your raw material prices and all that.
Has it gone up for you?
Yeah, definitely. Yes. Right? It's for everyone, I think, right? And it has gone up. Now, you can make a choice to follow, the prices to go up and push your prices up. And that's one method, but that's not the only method, right? Because you can think about improving your current operational efficiencies. You can think about how do you innovate to increase productivity. And technology plays a role in making sure that, when you reduce the manual work, you become more efficient. And then when you become more efficient operationally, you become more efficient at the cost as well. And so can we use these methods to mitigate certain fluctuations in inflation?
Mm.
Yeah, so if it comes to that if we have to adjust prices, then we have to do it if it comes to that. And I think every businesses will have to think about this.
At this point in time?
At this point of time, we are still, we are using our own internal efficiencies and processes trying to mitigate the situation. We don't want to pass this impact to our customers as much as we can, do what we can internally first. Yeah.
Well, technology can only solve that many problems. At the end of the day, this is a business of emotions and putting creativity into it. And talent is a very big part of it. Artists, floral artists, gifting artists. It's an industry that, like I said, not many people really talked about. Mm. And is it difficult to find talent in this space, given the nature of the industry?
Yeah, so if you notice, before the birth of Bloom This and e-commerce, the flower shops are usually run by middle-aged women like my mother-in-law in a small shop, brick-and-mortar shop. So the skill sets of flower arrangement, I would say, is slowly diminishing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a real challenge and it's a real hurdle to get people who is already experienced in the industry. So what we are doing right now is that we are setting up an academy, which we already did, to basically train up the young people to pick up this floristry skill. Yeah. So one of the initiatives that we did is that we actually partnered with an NGO called Women Girls, and we rolled out this program for called Jobs for Community. So Jobs for Community is actually a 3 months paid apprenticeship program where we get in the B40 community and train them up in terms of the floral and artisanal skills. So upon the completion of the program, they can either be employed in our organization or they can work somewhere else with the skills that they have acquired. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with this training arm in place, we hope that we can transfer the knowledge and the beauty of this floristry into more people and make the industry thrive.
That's wonderful. That's great to hear. And are there plans to expand this program?
Yes, definitely. So currently we are spearheading it in from our HQ in PJ. We are looking to expand this into our another hub as well, which is Penang. And to other cities such as the JB as well.
Okay. Well, on that note, while we are talking about expansion plans, if you can share with us, Gideon, what's next after this? I mean, you've got a great place here.
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking to scale or are you looking to increase product variety? What's in your mind?
Yeah, I think importantly is that you clearly mentioned, we are only in a few cities right now in Malaysia. But I guess the behavior of gifting, I mean, every day there is a birthday for someone. Every day there's a moment to celebrate. And that behavior is very general across anywhere. So so the next step is really to, how can we offer this experience that we have already created here to, let's say, right across of the whole of Malaysia, And for us to do that is really to be present in those cities,
mm-hmm.
and to then enable, activate those cities with our services and products. Then we can then start, you know, allowing that service to be offered to the audience over there. So I think that is an immediate way of how we think about growing and scaling. And we started with learning ourselves and you know, building what works. And now we are at a stage where we can replicate like what we have learned into other cities around Malaysia.
Presently, people, consumers are looking at purchasing items, looking at the provenance, at the sustainability over the supply chain.
Mm.
And I'm just wondering, because flour is such a perishable item, and there's a lot of waste, you know, if you're unable to sell them or ship them out in time, what is Bloomdist doing with regards to sustainability and reducing waste?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. So I think the first thing that we do is that we look into what types of flowers or what types of waste can be turned into, let's say, dry flower arrangement.
Mm.
So if you can see here, some of the flowers are assembled through dried flowers. So that's part of it. So the dried flower arrangement can be turned into our flower frames and what we call our everlasting series. Yeah. So that's the first thing that we do. So the second thing that we do is that we, on a day-to-day basis, you know, we collect a lot of stems, leaves, and flower petals and whatnot, right? So we are in the process of working with an organization to basically turn all these organic waste into compost and fertilizer. So the good thing about us is that luckily the waste that we produce is biodegradable, for example, the leaves and whatnot. So that already gives us some form of relief that at least we are not really harming the environment. Yeah. So, but on top of that, we really want to turn this so-called like waste into something more useful and give it a second life to the waste that we have produced.
Mm. It's amazing, the flower industry. I mean, first of all, you can't smell it, but I can. It smells really good here in this place. Fantastic conversation. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. Just one final question. Out of curiosity, what is the most popular flower?
Oh, it has got to be rose. Yes. The everlasting.
Yeah.
Rose is everlasting and it's really popular. It's, I would say, it's generic, yet at the same time, it's really romantic and, you know, everyone loves roses.
Well, thank you so much, Gideon and Penny, for spending time to talk to me about the flower industry, also what you're doing with Bloomdist. And best of luck with your plans. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.